Amen. All right, if you have young children for Children's Church, you can head towards one of the aisles and follow Miss Diana back there and get ready for Children's Church. If you got your Bible this morning, turn your Bible to the book of Philippians. We're going to be in our Bibles in the book of Philippians, if you will, Philippians chapter 2. And, you know, it's hard to believe, but these years kind of go by very quickly, and the holidays, as busy as it is, went by very quick. And so at the same time, there's many things to enjoy, many things to praise the Lord for and thank God for His blessings along the way. You know, it was interesting. Yesterday, I was out and about doing some things, and I was just noticing, counting the number of nativity scenes that I had seen along the way. And in homes and families in the city and everywhere, just everywhere you go, you see these nativity scenes. And so the thought occurred to me, I thought, you know, now here shortly, in the next week or a few days or whatever, starting in the January, all those nativity scenes will come down. And during Christmas, our focus is really on the virgin birth of Christ, the Lord Jesus and His birth and all around that. But I want you to think, I titled the message today, No Longer the Babe of Bethlehem's Manger. Did you ever notice that during Christmas, all the world just kind of stops and comes to a halt and around the nativity and around the birth of Christ, and Christmas is celebrated and His birth all around the world and the story of what Christmas is. But I want to say today that if that's all that you're going to get out of the year during the Christmas is the birth of the Savior, and He's no longer, when you move on, there's so many other things that I wanted to look at here today when you look at it in, as far as Christ. And too many Christians still think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ child in Bethlehem's manger. But if you really think about Him, He's our eternal Creator. He's our eternal God. And Jesus Christ always has been deity, has always been God. And when you think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so we worship Him as not only, you know, as He come in the nativity, but to realize the eternal part of Him being our eternal Creator. He is also our sovereign ruler, one that rules the world. And one of these days, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that He, Christ, is King of kings and Lord of lords. We're not there yet. But one of these days, He'll be recognized as that. He's our Lord, and He is our Savior. I pray that He's your Savior. And by Savior simply means that He came to die on the cross for your sin and for my sin, and to have you and I have the opportunity to have eternal life. And so when you look here in Philippians, we talk about now, today He's been our great high priest. He's been exalted to the right hand of the Father. And today, and these precious 11 people that we've talked about here today now are in heaven with their Lord and their Savior face to face. And so what a privilege that is. Philippians 2, let's begin reading in verse 5. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, the Lord Jesus Christ, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These verses here just bring in form here what we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like I said, He's more than the Christ child in the manger. He's more than in that nativity scene. He is our Creator God. He is our Lord and Savior. He is our great high priest. John chapter 17, He now intercedes on your behalf and my behalf today to the Heavenly Father on our behalf and before God the Father. And so we find here that that at one of these days every tongue shall confess that He is Jesus Christ and to the glory of God the Father. Go over to Hebrews chapter 2 in your Bible, and we see when oftentimes we think about Christmas, we think about the manner in which that He came to this earth and very humble beginnings. And when you get over to Hebrews chapter 2, and even though he came, was born in a manger, born in Bethlehem, and although he came and had these humble beginnings and grew up a carpenter's son and grew up and lived a short life during this time, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." What I want you to see in here, the manner in which he came in humble beginnings that you and I might be exalted, realizing here that as he come, he was made a little lower than the angels for the purpose of the suffering of death. You know, as hard as it is, and all this year and looking at it, no matter what you think about and go through, the relationships that you and I have with people along the way, and then when they're taken out through death's doorway and going on to heaven, it's hard to let them go. The relationship, the times you had together, the things you shared together. I mean, looking at each one of those that we went through today, I think, yeah, they're in the presence of the Lord today. They're in heaven today. They're enjoying the joys of heaven today. But they're greatly missed here, this side of heaven. But they're with their Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, every one of them would not want to come back here to this earth with this sin-cursed earth that you and I have here. So we look forward to going to be with him. So yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was humble that we might be exalted with him, and the humanity that we might take on the divinity. Notice the Bible said here that he became, for it became him who all things, by whom all things are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of the heir of salvation perfect through suffering. So we find here that through his humanity, you and I have the opportunity to take on the divine, take on the divinity, take on the part of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that through him and our relationship to him, that we can have the promise and the hope of eternal life. We find here that we are holy, that we might find help. And he is our great high priest interceding on our behalf. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 there in your Bible. So not only the manner, which is important, that he came in as a humble beginning in Bethlehem of Judea, but we also find here in Hebrews chapter 9 that the mission that he come to do, he was focused solely on a mission sent here. The virgin birth was all about a mission. The incarnation was all about a mission. He knew what his mission was, and the mission was very clearly spelled out to go to the cross of Calvary. He came to die for the sins of the world, and the Bible just told us there in Hebrews to taste death for every man. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he didn't get diverted. He didn't lose his attention. He stayed focused. He was zeroed in. He knew exactly why he came and what he was to do. And so Hebrews 9, look at it in verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit there, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So the second thing I want you to see this morning is the mission was accomplished. When you think about that, the mission was accomplished by that. He came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. And when the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 5, that he fulfilled all the things that were written of prophecy in the Old Testament. Matthew 5, and you get down to verse 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." He said here, "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So he came to fulfill all the law and fulfill the promises given here in the Scripture. And so his mission was accomplished. He finished the work of redemption, redeeming mankind and giving you and I an opportunity to have eternal life. Notice in Galatians, go over to Galatians. Think about this. You and I, prior to Christ, prior to being saved, are living under the curse of sin. And I don't know about you, but this world that we live in is a sin-sick, sin-filled, cursed world that we live in. Galatians chapter 5, when you get to chapter 5 and verse 1, the mission that he accomplished is to free you and I from the curse that you and I were living under. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul said here, and so important it is that when you and I come, that he freed us from our sin. He freed us from the curse of sin. He allowed you and I to have forgiveness of our sin. And so when he come here, the mission that he accomplished was to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, which he did. He finished the work of redemption, which he did. That allows you and I to be able to be here today and to celebrate these people that have gone on to heaven and realizing that we have peace and joy and happiness, really, for the knowing for sure that they have the promise of eternal life in heaven forever. He finished the work of redemption, and then he freed you and I from the curse of sin. Go over to John's Gospel, John chapter 14. You know, when you think about it, the message and to be proclaimed was the same message that you and I preach today, is the same message from the Bible, the Word of God, that he proclaimed here on this earth. And oftentimes, these verses right here, we'll use these in a funeral service because they're so true and they're so applicable to what's going on at that time. And notice in John 14, these words in my Bible are red letters. Notice what it says in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." And then Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And then Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So when you think about these words, the message that he proclaimed was to be able to love the unlovable, to be able to love those that are under the curse of sin, to be able to love each and every one. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what have everlasting life. So the message never changes. You know what's going on? A lot of churches around the world today, the message is changing. They're looking for more of a social gospel, a more entertaining gospel. And if Jesus was here, he would still be true and faithful to the same word, to the same message, to the same gospel that he preached. And right here is part of that gospel that he gave. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he brought love to the unlovable. He brought life to the dead and those that are living dead in trespasses and sin. And he brings liberty to those that are under the dominion of Satan. I really believe a lot of what's going on in our world today is really, I think, satanic influenced. I think Satan, the Bible is very clear, he goes to and fro up and down the land seeking whom he may devour. He is our devourer. He's the one that goes to destroy. He's the one that is behind evil in so many ways. And Satan realizes that his time is limited, and whatever he's going to do, he must do quickly. But his time is very, very short in whatever he is going to do. The Lord's going to come back. And so we find he brings liberty to those that are under the dominion of Satan. John's Gospel, chapter 8, I think, made it very clear. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. You cannot be both. You got to make a decision. You're either a child of the Lord or a child as a believer. The Bible talks about being a believer or being an unbeliever. What is your belief today? What is your faith system today? What is your belief in today? And so we find here the message that a proclaim is to bring liberty to those that are under the dominion of Satan. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. When you look in Ephesians 1, so the first thing we want you to see is the manner in which he came was to bring that he was come in humble beginnings in Bethlehem of Judea, and but we find that his as he came that he was focused on a mission and a calling in which God brought him to do, and he focused on that to the very end. Ephesians 1, the mystery that he revealed, and oftentimes the Bible calls it a mystery, says in verse 7, Ephesians 1, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us," here it is now, "the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, and whom we also have obtained an inheritance. So when you look at the scripture here in Ephesians, the mystery is revealed. The truth about the Word of God is revealed. I would encourage you to make this year of 2022 the year of the Bible, the year of learning more about the Bible, the more of devotions in the scripture. You got to read the Bible to know what's going on in it. And I'll never forget in seminary, you know, they told us that you kids all came here. We were seminary students. You came here to learn the Bible, to learn about the Word of God. But you got to. Here's what you got to do. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. I would wager to say there are many times seminary students will go to seminary and they don't read their Bible and have their devotions and stay in the Word of God. Same thing with churches that are filled sometimes with church members that will come and take in a worship service, but then not crack your Bible the rest of the week or the rest of the time. Don't do that. You're cheating yourself out of a huge blessing. And so take the truth of the scriptures and allow them to feed your heart and look at it as the bread of life and the manna of life and to be able to feed your soul day by day. It's exactly what we need to be able to live on is the Word of God. It's manna from heaven. The truth about the scriptures, the triumph about salvation and the truth about salvation and the triumph of salvation and then the sad tragedy of sin. And so when you look at it today, the most important thing is, do you know him? Have you been saved? Have you trusted in him? And what is your belief in? You're either a believer today or a non-believer today. So the mystery revealed is through the Word of God. The Bible gives us the scriptures. And look in Ephesians 2 there and verse 4. Notice the mercy that has been exhibited here. He said in verse 1. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, there he is, that's Satan himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God... Boy, I love that in Ephesians 2. If there's two words that turned it around, it's right there because he's talking about, think about in verse 1, being dead in our trespasses and sin. You and I, until we got saved, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. He hath quickened us and put within us the Spirit of God and brought us to life. Then he says here, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were, notice this now, dead in our sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The greatest gift you ever give is the gift of salvation and believing and trusting in him and for eternal life and the promise and the hope of eternal life. And God is rich in his mercy, he says here in verse 4, and his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, I think about that verse. I don't know about you, but I did not go looking for salvation. I don't know where you're at in your life. When you got saved, think back to the day you come to Christ. I was not looking to get saved. I was not looking to go to church. I was not. My experience was totally a situation. My sister went to church, a church like this, and got saved on a bus ministry on a bus route. So lo and behold, that Saturday, the pastor shows up. I was working. I was 16 years old at that time. Pastor showed up at my house, talked to my mom and my dad, and went through the plan of salvation with them and led my dad and my mother to Christ in our living room of our home in Mansfield, Ohio. I come home from work that day, and my dad says to me, he says, you're not going to believe who stopped by the house today. I said, who's that? And he said, the pastor at the church. I said, well, what'd he want? He said, well, he come and he sat down and he talked with us, shared the gospel with us today, and your mom and I got saved today. Well, that didn't mean anything to me because I wasn't saved yet. And he said, and we're going to church tomorrow. I said, I looked at my dad and said, you're going to church tomorrow? He said, yes. He said, we're going to church tomorrow at the Mansfield Baptist Temple, and we'd like for you to go along with us. And he said, Sandy and I are going, and Mom, and we want you to go. And so, you know, I got things to do and got my own car, a little bit of freedom. I was flying airplanes. I'm doing this and doing that. And I said, do I have to go? He said, no, you don't have to. But he said, I really would like you to go with us tomorrow. And that meant you're going to go. And so I said, all right, I'll go. So I went. So I came in a large congregation like this and pretty good sized crowd there, and I come in. I just was felt more comfortable. Just slide in the back and sit on the back row. But my dad and mom and my sister came all the way down about the third row, about a row right in front of you, Angie, where you're sitting right there. And so I thought, well, I'll slide in. No, my sister went in, then my mom, then my dad. They made me sit right on the aisle. And I heard the gospel for the first time. I heard this thing about salvation. I heard this message about being saved and what it means to be born again and knowing Christ as your Savior. And I had every intent, because they told me they were going to make a public profession of their faith and come forward to get baptized. And so right away I sat and I listened to the message that morning, and my dad punched me in the arm at the invitation time. He said, you need to let us out. And so I just stepped out, and I came down. I met the youth pastor down here at the front, got on my knees, and asked Christ into my heart. He'll change your life if you'll believe him and trust him. So I don't know where you're at and your experience of coming to him and knowing him and realizing you need to come to the truth of the Scriptures and understand you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to be saved for eternal life. And so here in Ephesians 2, and you know, I didn't go looking for that. It was the Holy Spirit of God that quickened me and brought me as a dead person, because I was literally dead in my sins, dead in my life in Christ. I did not know what I was looking for. And God's Holy Spirit began to draw in my heart and draw me to Christ. And that's when I realized I was a sinner. I realized I needed salvation. And I realized I couldn't save myself. And I called upon the Lord for eternal life. And so we find here Ephesians 2 makes that message abundantly clear. And forgiveness is available to all that seek him. And we find that friendship to the great and small, we find here the divinely reaching out. So we find what the Holy Spirit calls, if you're not yet saved and the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and drawing you to Christ, don't wait, don't delay, and just follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll give you that promise, that hope. And what he said here in verse 4, God is rich in his mercy and for his great love wherewith he loved us. Notice that in John, go over to John's gospel. We find that he left here behind for you and I. You know, I love the book of John. John's Gospel chapter 20 and verse 21 talks about here the motto that Christ left behind. When he went back to heaven, you know, he basically said, you know, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send you another comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit of God. But in John chapter 20, and you get down to verse 21, it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So when we look at it here, the Great Commission is to realize that you and I, we need to follow Christ, and you and I are left behind as an example to share the gospel with anybody and everybody that will listen and that we can carry that gospel to. And so the motive that he had in mind, go over to Luke's gospel. You're in John there. Just go back one more book to Luke chapter 19. The salvation is offered to every man, woman, boy, and girl of every opportunity and walk of life. And when you look at it here and you get down, this is the conversion really of Zacchaeus. Notice it says here, go back up to verse 1, Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and which was of the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And then Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So as we think about this year, as we embark upon 2022, the gospel message has not changed. The purpose and what Christ has come for has not changed. Everything that we do through every ministry in the church and whatever's going on should always be looking for, searching out, trying to get the gospel to the next person that needs to hear and trust Christ as their personal Savior. This year, I don't know about you, but I'd encourage you this year. And one of the greatest joys you'll ever have is to be able to put your hand in somebody else's hand, and when they're ready to pray and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I challenge you this year in 2022, you know somebody that is not saved. You know a neighbor, a family member, somebody maybe a coworker, somebody you work with, somebody that does not know Christ. Make it a personal mission this year in 2022 that you're going to do everything in your power, your ability to get the gospel to them, to plant the seed, to give them a track, to talk with them, to pray for them, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You think about this. Nothing is more important than that right there of getting the gospel to the next lost person that needs to be saved. Who do you know that needs to be saved? Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on praying and keep on searching and reaching out. You know, the most important thing, I don't know about you today, but the assurance we have today of knowing these 11 people that we just showed on the screen, they're in heaven today because they made a choice and they came face to face with a Savior, repented of their sin, asked Christ to come into their heart, and then they chose to live for Him. And I just thank the Lord for each and every one of them. And today, my friend, you and I have got people that we know, people that you need to be praying for, people that you need to be reaching out for and sharing the gospel. Because the sad thing would be if you don't and they don't get saved. I've done those funerals when people are not saved and they don't know the gospel. It is extremely hard and difficult to get through that, to realize that people get to that point in life. They have no hope. They have no promise of eternal life. They have no salvation. And that is the end. And reality begins to sink in. You need to be praying for your friends, family, neighbors, and make 2022 a year of getting the gospel to the lost and those that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Yes, no longer the babe in Bethlehem's manger. Today, you and I serve, we have a great high priest. We have a redeeming Lord and Savior. We have the Lord Jesus as He comes, our Creator God and Sovereign Ruler of the universe. And realize this, that all things will not remain the same as we see it. One of these days, this church age that we're living in will come to a close. Don't think it's ever going to be forever and forever and forever. This church age will come to a close. There will be a day that we will no longer meet here. This is the 65th anniversary of First Baptist Church of Canton. But there will be a day this church will cease to exist when Jesus is coming back and the church age comes to a close. And you and I all, you're either going to get caught up to meet the Lord in the rapture and to go to be with Him, or you're going to face death's doorway. And we have no idea in 2022, who's going to be on the PowerPoint in first Sunday in January of 2023. Looking back this year, could be you, could be me, could be any one of us. The main thing is to make sure that you know Christ as your Savior and that you live for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. And God, we thank You for the Word of God that reveals to us the biblical truth of the Scriptures. And God, that You have come and not only revealed Yourself as a newborn babe, being born of a virgin in that Bethlehem of Judea. But God, You're more important in realizing that You came with a purpose, and You carried out that purpose and carried out that plan. And God, You were faithful all the way and willing to lay down Your very life on the cross of Calvary that we could have eternal life. And so may the mission this year of 2022 be to reach out to the lost, to reach out to any person we can talk to or visit with that'll give us their time and attention and come to Christ. And God, if there be one here today that is not saved, they've not yet believed, they've not yet trusted in Jesus Christ for their personal salvation, God, that today would be the day that they would trust You and be saved today. Oh God, speak to our hearts today. And if there be one listening by way of the live stream today, that they also, if they're not saved, would open their heart and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. and may they be saved in coming to Christ today. Father, we thank you today for your blessings of 2021. We look forward to this year serving you in 2022. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together today. My friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know Christ, we'd love to take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But maybe today you need to come and pray. Pray for somebody that's not saved, that they would come to know the Lord as their Savior. 2022 is upon us. We need to take the gospel to both to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world as we pray. Brother Ron.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord.
Do you know him today? Have you believed in him today? I need thee every hour. Praying here, and Brother Ron, just plays softly, if you will. I got saved as a direct result of an alcoholic uncle praying for our family to get saved. My Uncle Carl, my dad's brother, was at the bar at 10 o'clock, usually 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, drank all day. I go to his house, it's lined with liquor and beer. Had a wife and three girls. Lived a pretty rough life. Marine Corps, World War II, cussed like a sailor, and all of a sudden God just somehow miraculously saved that man. He took every beer bottle in his house, threw it out, took every liquor bottle, threw it out, took his wife and his three girls to church every Sunday, and then started praying for his brothers and all of us that needed to get saved. And so lo and behold, my sister got saved, my dad got saved, my mom got saved, and I got saved. And so my point being, I think back of how it all got started with me and how I came to know Christ. And it's because I had an alcoholic uncle that drank like crazy, was so far from God and so far in sin, it was unbelievable. And the man got saved. I mean, he flipped on a dime, threw out everything, started living for the Lord. And I'll never forget the day I got saved. My Uncle Carl come up to me in that church. He said, Rick, he said, God has done so much for me. He said, I want to be the first one to give you your first Bible after you get saved. And my Uncle Carl gave me a Bible and had such an influence. I saw him in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and never touched liquor again after that. Liquor caused my grandfather to try to commit suicide. Liquor destroys a lot of homes and a lot of families, and it destroyed a lot of families in our family. But the amazing thing is God's saving, powerful grace can take a person and turn them around, and just as they'll trust him and turn their life. My point being, I really believe it was the prayers of my Uncle Carl, Aunt Jean, and them that started praying for us. So my point is, my friend, who do you know that you and I should be praying for in 2022 that could lead to their salvation? We need to take it real and make it serious. Heavenly Father God, today we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for your amazing saving grace. God, thank you according to Ephesians 2 that we were once dead in our sins, but where we're quickened by the power of God and come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. God, today as we launch into a new year of 2022, may we take serious that we have family members and those around us. There's people that we know that we need to be praying for their eternal salvation. And then God, doing all that we can do to see that they come to faith in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Have a great afternoon. Travel safe out there.